And then also thank God for the prayer time and God allowing us to come together to pray. And Lord, have mercy. We need more of that. I want to go back. I wasn't here Sunday night. I went to the hospital and with Thomas and Kelly. But I want to go back to Psalm 78. Thank you, Brother Jonathan, for preaching a great message Sunday night. Wonderful message. Give me the outline back when you leave tonight, please. I need that back, put back in my office. That was a gem. That was a great message. Appreciate the truth. Amen. Praise God. All right, Psalm 78. Again, we're picking back up with why have the children quit? And we didn't get very far. I didn't even get into the message at all, really. Sunday morning, the Lord gave me a thought that he wanted to preach Sunday morning. But I've been chewing in my heart and mind about, well, Lord, should I finish this message at all, or should I finish it Sunday morning, tonight? I feel like I have a green light to finish it tonight. And look at Psalm 78. Of course, it's a song of instruction. I'm glad there are songs of praise, there are songs of prayer, and we could go on and on, but this is a psalm of instruction for the people of God. So we need to take heed to this psalm. It's to the people of God. The Bible said, give ear, O my people. There it is. To my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established his testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So the Lord wants it to go on and on and on. Y'all see that? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, this psalm, he said, I want y'all to keep this in your children's heart and mind. Don't make them go back. I don't want them falling back to their fathers, to their kindred. How they died in the wilderness. They chose to wander around in the wilderness just living on crumbs from God instead of living in the promised land, having full victory. And folks, how many Christians today are saved, washed in the blood, but they just simply are not living in Canaan? In other words, that joy, that peace, that victory, they'd rather tightrope the flesh and just live out on the outskirts of the promised land. And God doesn't want us to do that. We know the promised land is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the victorious life. And the Lord, and it takes obedience, and it takes faithful obedience to live that life. So he said, I want you to keep rehearsing. Hey, every time a baby's born, as soon as they can understand, start teaching them these things. So may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now, I want to look at this text very quickly. I promise I'll be quick. Again, why have the children quit? Now, here's what God wants for our children. Now, we mentioned these three things Sunday morning. He wants our kids to know the way of salvation, the why of separation, and he wants them to know the warrant of Scripture, why we use this Bible. Amen? I'm not preaching that again. So remember that. And then in verses 1 through 3, you'll notice that one thing that the Lord wanted, the main thing, is for the children to listen to the Word of God. That was big. He said, I give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. He wanted them to listen to God's Word. See, we use Romans 10:17 as a verse for salvation, and it can be. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and saving faith does. Amen. But growing faith does as well. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we are to grow our faith and mature as God's people, the Word of God has to be active in us. It has to be. And he wanted them to know. Hey, parents, and I'm saying this in love, and hey, I love you. But when your children get to a certain age, I'm going to say 8, 9, 10 year old, they don't need pencil and papers unless they're taking notes of the word, and they don't need a cell phone sitting in their lap. Amen. And folks, I'll be honest with you. Some people say, well, I use my Bible app in my phone during service. And I'm not, because I'm not fussing about that. But I ain't got the ability to do that. I'd be on Facebook. I'd be on Amazon. I'm just telling you how I am. Amen. I'd be looking at cowboy boots or something. Now you can be, I mean, y'all, I know y'all more spiritual than me, so you know what? Bring that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, bring, hey, we need to teach our kids to listen to the Word of God.
Right.
Listen to it.
That's right.
You say, well, I don't like fighting them. I understand, but hey, it'll be worth the fight.
Amen.
Amen. It'll be worth the fight. When I was growing up, my mama would pinch me. And I'd scream out, hey, that hurts. What'd she do? Pinch me again. So our children need to listen to the Word of God. But then in verse 4, he wants our children to learn the works of God. He said, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Hey, nothing wrong. When God answers a prayer, you explain to your children, hey, God answered a specific prayer. We've been praying for our family. Let's bow right here and give him praise for that. We're going to give him thanks for that. Don't you ride off in the sunset and say, let them think daddy did it all. Uh-uh. You let them know God provided.
Amen.
Let them know, hey, by the grace of God, we stood faithful in prayer and believed what God said, and he brought something to pass. He healed grandma. He got us through whatever trial, whatever financial instability we might have had, whatever issue was coming up. Hey, when God settles that, we need to let our kids know, hey, the Lord did that for us. God did that for us. Let's give him praise for his wonderful works. That's what God wanted Israel to do. Hey, you remind them about that Red Sea opening up. You remind them about how I got you out of Egypt. You remind them about how I fed you in the wilderness. You remind them of all those things that I did for you, fought battles for you. You tell your kids about that and how God worked in your life. Hey, tell your children about how God worked in your life. Amen. If anybody ever know your testimony, your children should know it. If anybody ever know when you got saved, how you got saved, where you was at and you got saved, how what God brought you out of, it'll be your children.
Amen. That's right.
And then in verse number 5 and 6, not only did he want them to listen to the Word of God, learn the works of God, but he wanted them to look to the ways of God. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord, and he strengthened his wonderful works that he hath done, for he hath established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Hey, look to the way. Hey, how did God do it? Not only teach them that God did it, tell them how he done it.
Yes.
Tell them how he done it. And they will forget a story my daddy told, and it stuck with me, and it's helped me to trust the Lord more. He and my mama hadn't been saved very long, and they fell on hard times. Folks, I know what it's like to live in a house that didn't have a bathroom in it. I know what it's like. I'm telling you, we was dirt poor. I remember Dad telling this story. And he told it to the teenage boys' Sunday school class. I was sitting there. He said they fell on harder times, and the devil began to attack his faith. And began to say, hey, somehow or another you had money before you turned to Christ. Somehow or another, hey, it wasn't like this. He said, I just about made my mind up. I was going back to the world. He said, the Spirit of God convicted my heart. He said, I got down and prayed one more time. One more time. I got up and prayed one more time. And he said, I wasn't up from praying but a second, and a car pulled in the driveway, man knocking on the door, and he said who it was, I can't remember, but he said that man said, look, Charles, I don't have time to discuss it, to argue with you. I was going in a whole different direction, and God made me turn around and told me to give you this money. I ain't got time to talk about it. I got to go. It was exactly what they stood in need of. Hey, your kids need to hear that. Amen. They don't need to hear how you worked it out, how smart you are. They need to hear, hey, well, here's how God done it. Look how he done it. Now here's how he done it. God used that brother, that sister, that circumstance, and God brought that to me. God took care of that need. So that's things that God wants us to teach our children. Now, I've got to give a back story, and then I want to have 3 points. Again, my parents were saved in October 1972. I was just a couple of months away from 3 years old, and when they got saved, immediately my mama could sing like a bird, and she started singing with the church quartet, or it wasn't a quartet, it was what is it when you got five or six? Choir? Group? But anyway, back in the day, they had them Saturday night singers up in the mountains. And we traveled, we sang. And going to these churches multiple times, you get to know some of their young'uns. And we'd play with them. And I'd look forward to some of them because, man, they had boys there and we'd play and all that stuff. And as the years went on, then God called me to preach. And over the course of time, I got invited to some of those same churches to preach. And I'd go in. And I didn't see those young'uns. I knew they was my age, and I'd look around for them. Then I'd ask the question, where is so-and-so at? Their parents would be sitting there. And I'd say, where is so-and-so at? Pray for him, Brother Tommy. He graduated high school and rebelled and got out of church. And you know, I'll be honest with you, that kind of boggled me, but I didn't give a whole lot of thought to that. I said, well. And it didn't happen just one time, it happened a few times. And it got my mind on that. Why are they quitting? And there's much more I could say, but I want to get into this message. And I said this Sunday morning, I want to say it again. I'm not mean-spirited tonight, but I'm going to be direct. Amen. So I don't want anybody to leave out of here. If you get mad at me, get mad at God. The Lord put that, and we see what God wanted for his people's children in this text. He wants it for our children. But we have to admit, many have quit. Not every child or young person, teen, that I was raised up in church with are still in church. Now, I realize these three things that I have, there could be 50 more. But these are the three I believe are the main three. And instead of saying, well, they just rebellious old kids, instead of saying that, let's look at the heart of the matter. I believe in taking responsibility. Don't y'all? Amen. And the Lord, this is years ago, the Lord gave me three reasons in my heart. And I hadn't thought about this message in a long time. And God brought it to my heart Saturday night. Why have they quit? Number one, are y'all ready? Because of the sarcasm of the parents. A synonym for sarcasm means ridicule or bitterness. Ridicule everything and everybody at the church, the pastor, the choir, deacons, people is wrong. There's something wrong with them. And they constantly hearing ridicule. They passing around the bowl of a preacher at the church or a Sunday school teacher. Or you know, and then that bitter, that sour, it gets in those kids. They have no confidence and no authority in their life. And the parents are the cause of it. I just want to preach from my heart tonight, and I want to say this to you. The most foolish thing, parents, we can do. I'm talking about you that still have kids at home, young. I mentioned, what did I say? Something to 12, 13, 4 to 13, 5 to 13, whatever it was. Those at that age, when it gets planted, it's hard to get it out. And the most foolish thing you can do is sit around and criticize the authority that God has put in their life. Pastors, teachers. That is the most dangerous. If that's all they're hearing, why in the world would they want to continue going to that church? I'll tell you another one. Even preachers that don't know part of us. Hey, you sit around and you go, we ain't going to that because we don't like that. Why isn't it you like it? Is he liberal? Did you change Bibles? Why is it? He don't preach the truth? If all those answers are no, you have no right to tell your kids we ain't going to hear, we don't like it. Why? Why don't you like it?
That's right.
What's your problem? And one day, you better hear me, and you better take this in love. One day, they're going to quit coming.
That's right.
You're criticizing their pastor. You're criticizing the evangelist. You're criticizing the preacher of the church. Criticizing, hey, we don't want no part of it. What do you want? What do we need to do to satisfy you? Come to find out, a lot of times it's your problem. It's your issue. It's not that preacher's issue. It's not that Sunday school teacher's issue. It's your issue. Be careful, you walk on a Pharisee tightrope. Be careful putting your mouth on a man of God, a teacher, anybody that's an authority in your child's life that's trying to help them spiritually.
Amen.
And I encourage you, if you got kids the age that we have these youth devotions, they need to be in there. They don't be sitting out here.
Amen.
What's the problem with that?
Right. That's right.
Man, you got all right. Ain't nobody right but you.
Come on.
It don't matter if it's your thing or not. It's what God's ordained for our church.
That's right.
This dear brother done an extensive study on the King James Bible. Some of your kids want him in there. Sarcasm of, boy, I'm glad I didn't preach this Sunday. Sarcasm of the parents. Hey, if you got to run down your pastor or another preacher, hey, do it when they're not in your presence. You know, it's funny. It is funny. I'm serious. I'm not just saying it's funny. It's funny. Been pastoring this church 28 years, and I can tell when mom and daddy don't like me. And it ain't nothing mom and daddy's doing. It's when I get snubbed by the children. Y'all think I'm dumb? Please don't answer that out loud. Y'all think I'm dumb? Go by and speak to you, teenage boy and girl. Yeah, I was wondering why my arm was hurting. Y'all been gnawing on it all week. You're hurting your children by doing that.
Right. That's right.
You're hurting them. I promise you, there'll come a day that you'll regret it, and probably you'll blame that on somebody else. Sorry, well, let me go on to the second one. The sarcasm of the parents. Number two, hey, I ain't leaving nobody out. Number two, why is the children quit? Sarcasm of the parents. Number two, slothfulness of the pastor. No convictions, no concern, no compassion. No standards. No concern, don't care about people's lives. No compassion about people getting saved. Not even leading in soul winning. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a preacher who wouldn't preach the whole counsel of God. And one that won't stand against nothing. But also I wouldn't give a dime for a preacher that had no compassion and no love for his people. You can have them both. You can have convictions and compassion. And they're not seeing that in pastors. Either they're stuffing rules down their throat and showing no compassion, or they're showing all compassion and not teaching them the ways and rights of the Lord and the Bible, not building any conviction in them. I heard a preacher say this way. It's not original. But if a man's preaching with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and he's preaching what God's Word said, he'll never preach me out the door. He may preach me to the altar, but he won't preach me out the door. Every time a man of God stands in his pulpit or goes somewhere, a man of God, I want him to preach something to me. I want him to get to where I'm living. Hey, I've been in meetings here and other places where a man of God's preached. And it's been one of them sermons, I'm like, everybody is staring at me. You ever felt that way? I mean, you sitting there and you're so paranoid. You're like, I'm looking straight ahead. I'm guilty, but I'm amen in this anyway. And then about three quarters way, I'm thinking, hurry up and call while we're called. I got to get down there. Man, this man's plowed my pea patch. He has broke up some fallow ground in my heart. And I got to get to the altar. I got to get right. Slothfulness of the pastors. You know, there's one thing I've got to learn. You don't have to compromise to show compassion. You can preach the Bible like this. You can preach hard. And hey, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And there have been so many either mean-spirited or jelly-backed preachers that has took a generation out. It took a generation out. Now, again, folks, I'll probably be the next one on the show, but these recovering fundamentalists, grow up. Grow up. You wasn't traumatized. Grow up. Oh, I was raised in an independent Baptist preacher's home and I was so traumatized. We hate Baptists. Hate the King James Bible. You think they have a license to get on a public forum and run it down. Be careful. Thirdly, and lastly, I told you to be fast. Sarcasm of the parents while the children quit. Slothfulness of the pastors while the children quit. And then this message is getting everybody. The slackness of the people. Through the years, the children saw the church serve, shout, show up. You listening to me? Through the years, they saw the church serve, shout, and show up. Till all of a sudden, instead of serving, they perch in a pew. Instead of shouting, they pouting. Instead of showing up, they're passing by. No consistency in the church. The consistency is gone. Now, there's still consistency and faithfulness on the job. There's still consistency and faithfulness at school. Man, them grades are still, man, they're still on top. There's still consistency in secular things, but the church. Congregation, you realize these young people watch you? Hey, I give you an example. Brother Bud and Miss Trish took a 2-week vacation. My daughter said, I don't feel like I've seen them in a month. Yeah. They watch us.
That's right.
They watch us. What are they seeing? When God's moving, worship's going on, and they look around the building, what do they see you doing? Hey, I know I'm looking at it. I look at it. Those young people look at it too.
That's right.
They look at it too. You know, they hear their preacher getting on them for cell phones. They look over there and adults is on theirs. You're not invisible. I'm not invisible. Now there's multiple reasons, and again, I understand it's a rebellious heart.
That's right.
I'm not cutting all of them off the hook. I know some that had great examples, great pastors, great leadership, great parents, and they said, "Hi, I don't want that." I understand that. I've seen that. And they'll find fault. And by the way, young people, ain't nobody here perfect. Don't expect perfection. Expect faithfulness, but not perfection. If we got to accept your imperfections, you got to accept ours.
Amen.
And you get a hold of that.
Right.
If we have to accept your imperfections and be patient with you, you got to do the same.
Right.
Just because you see imperfection in a couple of members or a preacher, don't mean you can just say, "Well, I'm done. I got the excuse." No.
Right.
No. Uh-uh. But this is where the message is. Sarcasm, slothfulness, and slackness. Leadership, always be on guard. Congregation, always be on guard, knowing that, you know, you're sitting there. And I understand we come in sometimes with troubles and trials and heartaches in our life, and it's hard to smile. Folks, as the pastor, sometimes I come in here brokenhearted, discouraged, upset about something. But I try not to let you see it. I'm standing here with a broken heart. And I'm not super spiritual. I'm probably the less spiritual one in here. But I come to figure out, you know, if I come in here doom and gloom, you're going to be doom and gloom. If I come in here like I ain't got any faith, you're not going to have any faith. For the most part. Again, most of you are a whole lot more spiritual than I am. I don't want to lose any more of our young people after they've become adults because we've dropped the ball. Because we've dropped the ball. Now again, I come to find out as a daddy, you can enforce your rules, but you can't change their heart. You can't change their mind. There comes a time where your children might think different than you. And they may want to go a different direction than what they've been taught. That is a fact. That's a fact. I've told some of my kids at times, we didn't raise you like that. You've been taught that. No, I didn't do that. Them boys can whip me now. I'd hate to shoot them in the leg. Then they couldn't work and I had to pay the power bill. I ain't doing that. Let's be on guard. Amen. Let's stand. Come on, Mr. Courtney. I'll stop. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Your altar's open.